think that would be unfair to tarnish the whole system on the misdeeds of a few. I think there's a risk in overgeneralizing about the link between money and behavior. And it's true, I once lived in New York, and two ways to dislodge someone in New York politics are either beat them or have them arrested. But I do think our system is a little different. And we're not the state legislature. We're not the Congress or the Senate. We're the city council. And there's, unprecedented level of transparency in terms of our proceedings. And I agree with what Commissioner Leonard said. When you get into this job, you have to disappoint people. The hardest thing is disappoint people who are your allies and friends, whether or not they contributed. We all ran with the notion that we were going to make the best judgment we could. And I've spent a lot of my first year angering people who contributed and knocked themselves out for me. And it's not deliberate on my part. It's just that I've tried to do what I think is best. So that's the pushback on that particular section of the report. But thank you for your service. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the Campaign Commission, Auditor Blackmer, for your diligence on voter-owned elections. I have to remind my colleague Nick Fish doesn't know this, but the first incarnation of voter-owned elections was clean money campaigns, and I objected strenuously to that connotation, and I think it helped reincarnate itself as voter-owned elections, which I think is much more less pejorative on the topic you were raising. But I think you've done great work, and the system has improved, and it seems like more candidates are availing themselves of it, and that's a good thing. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank the Commission for your service. It's a lot of work, and it's a good report, and I really appreciate everything that you have done, and also Auditor Blackmer for your leadership on this issue. Andrew Crosterman, Andrew Bryant, who worked so hard and so long during the last year's election. So thank the League of Women Voters and Democracy Reform Oregon for your tireless work on this as advocates from the community, and a lot of volunteer experts have contributed both to the report and to the success of the program here in Portland. I feel honored and challenged by having been elected with my campaign financed by every taxpayer and ratepayer in Portland. And I remember that when I'm sitting up late at night answering emails from people who are berating me for my decisions or lack thereof, and remembering that this indeed was a campaign contributor, and that's another reason for me to answer respectfully. I have learned a lot from my four new colleagues in the last 4 months, and a great respect for the integrity of the system that we have in Portland. It's something really special in and of itself, with or without public campaign financing. I still call it public campaign financing. I don't call it voter-owned elections yet, because we will refer it, I hope, next November. And at that point, I think we can all embrace, if it passes, that term. I would note, though, that the city of Portland was mentioned in a newspaper by the city of Montreal just this last week, referencing some problems that they are having in their city government with allegations of paybacks and such. And they pointed to the city of Portland, where a nurse got elected to the city council, and saying, well, maybe we could do something like that. So it's a wonderful thing that we all have done, and I recognize those on the council who voted to support this program when it took a lot of courage to do that and not to refer it to the voters right away. I think the decision to not refer it was entirely the right one. We're working to put a really good system on the ballot in November of 2010. And I will work with the auditor's office over the next month. We're hoping to bring code language to council sometime in May, I believe. So, and I will work with my colleagues too to make the rounds to look into the issues that I mentioned. I'm very interested in Democracy Reform's suggestion about the timing of the exploratory period coinciding with the filing period, the concept of needing more money in a runoff, even it's a shorter time frame, but then it's the same number of citizens that need to be reached, and the cost of that is still the same. And also the concept of earmarking special election contributions in the primary rather so that you get pledges rather than donations, and that, I think, is another thing. So there's a lot of details still to be cleaned up, and I will work very hard so that we can get that done, and I thank everybody for your participation in this effort that we're all doing together. Aye.
Adams. I want to thank Leslie. Are you continuing, or are you termed out, or you don't know yet? Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your service and everyone's service on the commission. I want to thank Auditor Blackmer and the Andrews as well for your work through elections and specifically on the voter-owned elections piece. I actually campaigned to be a member of the City Council supporting voter-owned elections and have been a co-participant in the process. And I remain a supporter of voter-owned elections and committed to continuing to refine it and improve upon it with our experience. So I'm pleased to vote aye. Is approved. Sue, we've got some catch-up items. And I have an absence at 3:30, so let's see if we can... We've got these really quick ones. So can you read the title for 532?
532, accept a donation in the amount of $9,000 from Providence Portland Medical Center for the construction of a Green Street stormwater curb extension in the public right-of-way at Northeast Gleason and 63rd.
This is a non-emergency ordinance. It's a very good thing. Unless anyone wants to testify on Council Item 532... If there's any council discussion on it, 532 moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for second reading of Council Calendar Item 534?
Authorize a permit of entry agreement with Portland Public Schools and indemnification to the extent allowed under the Oregon Constitution and the Oregon Tort Claims Act to maintain rain gauges at various school properties.
This is a second reading. Can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Sausman. Leonard. Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 534 is approved. Can you please read the title for time certain? 2:30 time certain. We're running just an hour behind schedule for Council Calendar Item 539.
Accept Independent Police Review Annual Report.
And again, I have an absence, so I'm going to turn it over to the president of the council, Gary Black.
No, thank you.
And I'm Rummy, too. Randy Linden.
You wished.
Okay. Good afternoon, members of council. Gary Black, we're Portland City Auditor. I'm going to cede my seat to Chief Rosie Sizer in a moment, but before I do that, I did want to just quickly say that what we have is a pretty remarkable police oversight system because it really is the interdependency of three different representative groups. We have Michael Bingham, who's the chair of the Citizen Review Committee, which is made up of nine citizens who have a variety of duties related to police oversight. Next to me is Mary Beth Baptista, who's the director of Independent Police Review and answers to me as an independently elected official overseeing police systems, and Rosie Sizer, who will be taking my seat, who is kind of a key partner in all this as well, because it's really the goal of this system is to help the police bureau be better. It's not necessarily an outside force to make it better. It's an outside force to show it the way to be better. And what we've gotten is a great reception from the leadership and the line staff of the Portland Police Bureau in their striving to continually improve their police services. So let me turn my seat over to Rosie Sizer, and I'll let those three talk to you about this annual report.
Thank you, Gary.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Good afternoon. I am Mary Beth Baptista, and I am the Director of IPR, and I'm pleased to present the 2008 annual report to you. This report shows that oversight works. We have great confidence in the data of the 2008 report. It reflects a positive trend at the Portland Police Bureau. They're getting ahead of the complaint process through better training and better supervision and better policies. Some noteworthy trends within the PPB include that shootings and forced complaints are down. For the second year in a row, there were only two police shootings, and there were no in-custody deaths in 2008. The number of forced complaints are down to 50 from 74 in the previous year. the Bureau implemented a new use of force policy that has been called breaking new ground nationally. It more clearly defines Bureau expectations regarding officers' use of force, and officers are expected to develop skills to resolve confrontations without resorting to higher levels of force. Officers receiving multiple force complaints are also significantly down. Only two officers received multiple complaints last year compared to previous years where 16 officers received multiple force complaints.
What's multiple? Just two or?
Yeah, last year one received two complaints and the other received three complaints.
Thank you.
Okay. Further, officers receiving multiple non-force complaints are also significantly down. Just eight officers received five or more complaints last year compared to more than 20 officers who received that many in previous years. These trends reflect that there is proactive management and that the officers are committed to service. It takes leadership and teamwork to prevent misconduct, and the Portland Police is a progressive organization that is supportive and responsive to IPR's oversight. Highlights for IPR also include that satisfaction levels of our work is up. We received overall satisfaction levels at an all-time high of about 20 percentage points difference since 2005. We've also finally released our new community outreach plan after significant public input, and we've filled that position. I am so pleased to finally stop talking about IPR's need to do outreach and actually get started doing it. We have hired a fabulous new member of our team. Her name is Irene Konev. She's here with us today. She has a long track record of building coalitions with diverse communities. She's bilingual, and I am confident in her ability to listen to community concerns. The mission of IPR is not only police accountability, but it is public trust, and we are committed to building that public trust with the citizens of Portland. The positive trends in this report reflect dedication and leadership, as Auditor Blackmore said, from many fronts. I'm joined by Michael Bigham here today, who is the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. I've said it here before, and I'll say it again. I have never worked with a more dedicated group of volunteers, and I am consistently surprised and pleased with the amount of hours that they give to IPR and to police oversight.
Members of the council, I'm Michael Bigham, the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. 2008 was a year of challenges for the committee, but the CRC members and myself are resolved to continually improve citizen oversight of the Police Bureau. We have worked hard this year to engage members of the council, and I would like to urge any of you that haven't appointed a member to the CRC or a representative next time that those nominations are open, please do so. We also have participated in national training opportunities and work on several issues of community concern. One example is one of our work groups conducted an in-depth analysis of citizen complaints about biased enforcement practices of police officers. Its interim report was released in February of 2009. Portland Police Bureau has also released a plan to address racial profiling the same week. CRC members are looking forward to working with the Bureau on this important issue.
And I know that Chair Bingham and Chief Sizer will join me in thanking outgoing City Auditor Gary Blackmer. IPR is a leader in police oversight because of his leadership and his wisdom. He understood that improvement in police services and public confidence in police accountability would require transparent and persistent analysis of police conduct and policies. The data in this annual report validates his foresight. We are fortunate to have had him, and we wish him well in Salem.
And I'm Chief Rosie Sizer of the Portland Police Bureau. And before I remark on the annual report of the Independent Police Review Division, I'd also like to give a nod to Auditor Gary Blackmer, who has worked for years on issues of both police performance and police accountability. He has provided a structure, I think, that has allowed us to make tremendous progress. And in addition to a structure, he recruits great volunteers and hires great staff. I'm very pleased in the information that's contained in IPR's annual report for 2008. 8. I think it contains lots of good news about the performance of our officers who work hard every day to provide for the public safety of this community. Citizen complaints are down 42% since 2004. Last year, we received only 453 citizen complaints from a high in 2004 of over 770. Force complaints are down, shootings are down. I think one signal statistic is that 479 officers avoided complaints altogether but received at least one commendation. This is 37% increase since 2006. City confidence in our efforts to control police misconduct and IPR's efforts continue to improve, and we are making improvements in our timeliness of investigations and the thoroughness of investigations as well. I've been very happy to collaborate closely with the CRC and IPR in my 3 years as chief of police and pledge to continue to do so. And I think the partnership is really paying fruit in the statistics that you see in this report.
Great, thank you. Questions from council? Thank you all very much. Has anybody signed up?
We have three people who signed up. Debbie Iona, Robert Butler, and Dan Handelman.
Did you have another name? Robert Butler. Pull up the chair. Let's get everybody seated. First.
All right. Okay, thanks. Good afternoon. My name is Debbie Iona. I'm representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League commends IPR staff for completing the 2008 annual report in a timely fashion. As the Eileen Luna Fireball Performance Review pointed out, accountability to the public and transparency are two important functions of a civilian review board. Under the leadership of Director Baptista, improvements to the system have been instituted, including a greater emphasis on outreach, clear written communications to complainants, and training for investigators working with the public. The annual report noted a significant drop in complaints received by IPR. This could be attributed to improved interactions between the police and the public, or it could be due to a lack of trust in the system. The report points out that it is difficult to draw firm conclusions from the survey responses. The Citizen Review Committee Bias-Based Policing Workgroup successfully collaborated with Portland State, and we suggest working with them again to get a better picture of why people are not using the system and what those who do think of it. In 2008, there was only one appeal hearing held before the CRC. In addition to providing complainants an avenue for appeal, the hearings give CRC the opportunity to hear firsthand about police community interactions. This informs their critical policy work. In the continued absence of appeals, the outreach coordinator should facilitate opportunities for CRC members to hear from the public most affected by police attention. This could very possibly lead to the identification of police policies needing revision. African Americans continue to file complaints at a rate much higher than their proportion of the population. This demonstrates the importance of continuing the work of the CRC's bias-based policing workgroup. Service complaints continue to be the category where most complaints are assigned. These cases include allegations of rude or unprofessional behavior, profanity, and racial profiling or discrimination, and are not fully investigated. For the most part, we understand that complaints are resolved quickly and complainants are satisfied with the outcome. In light of the large number of cases in the category and the potential seriousness of the allegations, we think an avenue for appeal is warranted. The Park report on officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths was released recently. The report contains much useful information and valuable recommendations of critical importance to Portland residents. We urge you to schedule a council presentation and hearing on the report soon. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Good to be back here so soon after this morning. I was wondering if I could ask for a few extra minutes since I've been studying this review board for a very long time. It had a rather lengthy report.
On the condition you give your name.
Okay. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch. I want to echo the League's comments that there's some good going on at the IPR. I think often we're mistaken for our criticisms being the only thing we have to say, but when we limited the time, it's harder to put in the good things. But they are much more opening to listening now with the new director than they have been in the past. They've been putting the appeals forms in now with the disposition letters, which we've been asking about for years. And Citizen Review Committee took on the issue of TriMet police from other jurisdictions and brought it to you at the City Council, which was great. And the bias-based policing report was very a bold step forward, I think, for the CRC. But in general, this report is the same as the last couple of reports that have come out from IPR, where they're drawing these broad conclusions in places where it suits them, but they reject similar analysis when it makes them look bad. And some examples I'll give are like the fact that shootings are down. We can't make anything of those trends until we've seen a much longer term. They have cut off the number of shootings in the past at the year 1997 because they say that the Park report cited reliability concerns about that data before 97. In fact, Park said that Portland Cop Watch had better statistics than the Portland Police Bureau did. But in 1995, there was only one shooting. And these past 2 years, there have been two. One could say, hey, they've gone up since 1995. If you twist the numbers a certain way. So I think it's important for us to look at the broader trends. And they also say one reason for this, which we've said in the past, could be that the Portland Police are using tasers now, which is true, but the report doesn't contain any statistics about the number of times police are using tasers or compare that to how often they used to use firearms before that. That's going to be included in a separate report, the use of force report. And we've been saying for a long time that all these things should be integrated. The use of force, the use of deadly force, the general complaints, everything should be in one place so that we can take a look at all these trends and make it a holistic view instead of just taking it piecemeal. We also agree at Portland Cop Watch that the Park report is one of the most important things that this city does, and that their report should be made before City Council, and we're not sure why that last report came out and still hasn't come before you. Another example of something where I think that IPR's report is a little bit more of a public relations effort than anything is the statistic that the satisfaction level is up 20 percentage points since 2005. That's true on these surveys that they put out themselves, but starting last year, they stopped sending out the surveys to every single person that comes through their door. They decided to only send it out a couple of times a year. And so there were only 35 people responded to their survey this past year. And when they say 44% of their respondents had a favorable opinion of IPR, that's 15 people out of 34 that actually filled out that question. So we're talking about 15 people out of 530-some-odd complaints that the IPR processed. And that doesn't really show you what, you know, how much favorable opinion there might be or not. And they also say that the city survey, they believe the city-wide survey, is a better reflection of the how much people trust the system. And that's 42% people think that we have a good system for accountability. And it started 5 years ago at 35%. So that's only up 7 percentage points. But the thing that really is bothersome about the way the analysis goes is that the people who return these forms are sort of written off in the report as a self-selected group that doesn't represent Portland in general, and yet these are the people who use the IPR system. So they know better than anybody else how the system works. The people in the citywide report probably don't even know what the IPR is. They've never had any occasion to use the IPR. There's also repeated statements about how the IPR has the ability to conduct joint or independent investigations if necessary. Of course, that's still never been done, and we're still waiting for the day when the IPR will finally do its own investigation. There are other confusing statistics, like they say that 25% of the cases that were investigated had sustained findings, but it was only 9 cases out of 529 they screened, so that's only 2% overall. And this is one of the things Eileen Luna Fireball talked about, is how you divide that sustained rate makes it look different. They note that one use of force case was sustained, but they don't say what the circumstances were. They say in a bureau-initiated complaint, one use of force with firearm was sustained. but they don't say what the circumstances were for that. And I understand there's a need for personnel matters to stay private, but there are exceptions to the laws for public interest. And I think the people of Portland need to know if the officer was held accountable for using a firearm incorrectly. So I have plenty of other things to say if anybody has questions, and thank you very much.
Have you sent your testimony to us?
No, I haven't had time to, again, this report only came out a week ago and it's 60 pages long. So when I have it typed up, I will send it to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm Robert Butler, 824 Southwest 18th Avenue. I'd like 5 minutes. I was here almost 3 months ago on December 10th, and I was very critical of the process. The mayor was very upset that I was upset and assured me, Mayor Tom Potter assured me that if I would continue to work with these people, that I would get satisfaction. So rather than working with them the next day, Baptista sent her first letter to me, rejection. Okay, well, I guess that's how that plays out. So there's two things that are happening here. It looks like possibly in one area of this there's some corruption going on. Possibly area of corruption going on. The corruption is going on, if it exists, with the issuance of citations. Now, as you know, we issue in Multnomah County 100,000 citations a year. And you also know that you get a cut of that action. You get a cut of those fines, don't you? This report smells bad. One part that really smells bad is when the report says that 91% of all the citizens of Portland that go to way out to the trouble of making an official complaint against the police department, they toss them out. They toss them out. Your police review board tosses them out. That smells, that's a stench that is so bad that they could toss out 91% of them. So why would they toss them out? Well, I don't know why. The motivation is because you get a cut of the action. So what I have proven is one, and I handed it to you, that on the face of it, in the light of day, Officer Braun illegally filled out a citation. And you have the citation of the violation of the Oregon Revised Statute in front of you, I believe. You have the ticket, and it's black and white. the rejection letter from an attorney, Baptista, attorney, apparently is oblivious to the light of day and the law. She refuses to think that there was a violation. Why would she cover that up? Why am I one of the 91% being tossed out? I didn't bring the other evidence, which is kind of interesting, and I can't prove that they're linked, but you have to ask if you're a good citizen, are they linked? And that is the fact that the police department, Chief Sizer's office, the officer, the commander at North Precinct, the police review board, they would not cooperate in allowing me to find out why the citation was given. I was given a $242 citation, and I could not find out why. I did get some advice from somebody. You know, you might be able to find out why. I understand your problem. You might be able to find out why if you go to the court. Go down to the circuit court and just ask for the affidavit signed by the officer. I made three attempts to do that, and I was rejected on three times. That's against the law. It's against the law. I have a letter from the Attorney General who investigated. Supervisor of the Clerical Department of Traffic Citations admitted she turned down my written request to let me have a copy of it. Now, that's really helpful for someone that's pretty interested in nickel-diming this to get some extra money and have people go into court not knowing what they're charged of or even understanding or thinking they should stop work and wondering what was wrong. This action requires investigation. And I'm particularly perturbed by the police review board for smelling so bad and for declining something so obvious as this, which I feel is pretty much incontrovertible.
Thank you.
Butler, I just have one question, if I could. When a citizen,
you have 10.
Just one. When a citizen gets a traffic citation, you have the right to contest it and have a hearing in circuit court. Did you avail yourself of that opportunity?
Yes.
Did you have a hearing before a judge on the citation?
Yes.
And what was the outcome of that hearing?
It's, I think it's irrelevant. I'm not going to answer that question. I'll tell you why. You're insulting me. I am talking about whether or not I'm guilty or not. I'm talking about a violation.
Asked your question. You've answered it, and you've done.
I'm talking about a violation of state law.
So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there anybody else signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
Go ahead.
Hello, commissioners. Again, my name is Crystal Elinsky. Thank you for letting me speak again. This is my day. I didn't realize this topic was here, but I feel like Alice in Wonderland, like my experience is not matching what's been said here regarding the police review board and the CRC and police conduct in general over time. And I'm just going to speak as an average citizen that what I see, I don't know if there's all these agreements going on in this reality that I'm supposed to accept, but my experience the police is over the last few years has been very negative to the point where I have a lot of trauma around it. And now that I'm homeless, it's a double whammy. Let me just say that. It's really bad. And I didn't know there were these options to go to independent police review boards. And initially with the first incident with police brutality, I asked directly the circuit court, what I should do. And they told me to bring a case against them. And then I asked the lawyer, and they said file a tort claim, which I did. And after some time, I got three different business, like private businesses writing me and saying I didn't file it in time, which is very bizarre, and I didn't know how to respond because it wasn't official and it wasn't from the courts. And since then, I've not been able to pursue it. But then a year later with another incident, I found out that there was such a thing as Portland Cop Watch and the IPR and the CRC. And I attended those meetings with Eileen Luna Firebaugh, and I followed it very closely. The last 6 months of my life, I've been too busy trying to survive to follow this. And what I heard today was as if they had a 180 degree turnaround. How is this possible? And again, I'll look at the statistics and see what it is. But from my own personal perspective, it's very difficult. I didn't know I had this process. And when I listen to other people speak about it and how it didn't work for them, and, you know, we may be right. We need to talk about this. I'm glad you're discussing this today, and I hope we can have it on the agenda later to listen to people's experiences, just like Eileen Luna Firebaugh did. I'll give you the example of Ms. Child, whose case was overturned, and she went through the same system where she wasn't heard by the IPR or the CRC. They turned it down. She got an apology from the mayor. She sat right here in front of you all and got an apology from the mayor. But her case was overturned. Police brutality on a person riding a bike without a light. And this stuff is happening every day, and it's especially happening to homeless people. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, I wanted to say that I think it was Irene Conniff. She had the perfect quote here. She said, "We're ahead of the complaint process." I wonder what that means.
Anybody else wish to testify? Mary Beth, could you come back up? Mr. Fritz has a couple questions.
So why is there such a high rate of dismissed cases?
Well, it wasn't as high as Mr. Butler pointed out. I think we're at just hovering around 70 dismissals. We're at a dismissal rate of 62%. The most frequent reason for dismissal was that officers' actions described by the complaining party didn't violate Bureau policy or constitute misconduct. I'll give you a couple examples of what those usually come from. Traffic stops are one of those things that it usually comes from. People are upset that they don't have a thorough explanation of why they were pulled over. But at the end of the day, we ask them, well, was the officer courteous to you? And if the answer is yes, and there's not a rudeness complaint there, there's another judicial review, and officers don't have to explain why someone was pulled over as long as they write out the citation accurately. I think one of the best examples of a dismissal I've had in a while is a person driving back home to Vancouver, Washington, in the HOV lane driving an SUV with Washington plates, was pulled over because he was by himself in the carpool lane. Explains that the officer was courteous and professional, but he felt that the reason he was pulled over was because he had out-of-state plates and was driving an SUV in Oregon. I mean, the reality is a lot of complaints we get fall along those lines of they're really just non-complaints when they come in. They're not misconduct. They're not rudeness. They're not a policy violation. So we get a significant amount of those cases that come through our door.
So what happens when there may be a need to change the policy? How is that referred to the policymaking body?
A policy on what, excuse me?
On anything. I mean, you find that there wasn't a violation in policy. Who is it that gets to decide that maybe that policy isn't what we want now? There's a policy that they don't have to explain what the violation was.
Yeah, that's
so supposing we wanted to change that policy, how would that happen?
The requirement is of what happens at a traffic stop happens in the vehicle code. I mean, so the vehicle code says what is it, what the traffic citation needs to include.
So could the city of Portland require our police to explain,
well, I think
if asked, would that be a policy that we could have? And if so, how would citizens go about getting policies changed in the police?
Obviously, the purpose of the CRC is to look and see whether or not that there are policies that are within the Portland Police Bureau that are up to community satisfaction.
And does the CRC review all of the dismissed IPR complaints?
We actually do have a work group right now that is looking at our case handling decisions, that they're looking at whether or not the cases that service complaints came up here earlier today, looking and determining whether or not the cases that we have and that are processing as service complaints, are those appropriate? Should these have been investigations or not? And so far, the news from that work group is good, that they feel like our case handling decisions are appropriate. They've started with service complaints, and they are going to move into dismissals and precinct referrals and those kind of things.
And the report from that group will be published, and people will be able to look at it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And what happens if somebody disagrees with a dismissed complaint? Is there an appeals process?
They can protest that complaint.
To who?
To IPR. And now, under our current system, that is actually more meaningful than it might have been perceived to be in previous years, because now we have a structure where it's myself as the director as well as the assistant director, and we're both screening cases. So the issue had been in the past, well, the same person's going to look at my protest, then looked at my original complaint. That's not the case anymore. So if Constance Severe, who's my assistant director, reviewed the case and dismissed it and they protest it, then it would come to me as a fresh look, and the reverse would happen, where if I made the decision, then Constantine would look at it, and we could, it'd be a fresh set of eyes that would look and determine whether or not we would reopen and make a different decision.
There isn't any appeal to the Citizen Review Committee or somebody outside of the city employment?
No.
And has that been considered?
Oh, I know that that the community wants an appeal right of every decision that we make, but I think that the work of the Citizen Review Committee is to look at our case handling decisions and identify whether or not there's a need and a problem there, and I don't think that they have.
Okay. And I noticed there's a very low response rate when you send out the satisfaction mm-hmm. surveys, 19%.
Right.
Is anything being done to try to improve that?
Well, you know, my understanding is that male surveys have low response rates and that we're not unique to that. However, I have been listening to the community's concerns regarding how we are gauging community satisfaction. Now that we have the outreach coordinator, and I know that the outreach work group of the CRC is also going to be coming back alive, if you will, since we now have the outreach coordinator, I do hear this concern that we're not, that we don't have a really good understanding of satisfaction and that there isn't the best measure through surveys. So I am listening, and I am going to work with my outreach coordinator as well as the outreach work group as well as our systems analysts who can devise some sort of method and surveys to use. I'm open to using the folks at PSU. They were really helpful during bias-based. I'm open to multiple ideas on how to, you know, resolve this issue or at least move forward on the issue.
Let me add a little light also. We've done a lot of research on response rates on police victimization surveys or oversight surveys and feedback, and we have not found a single jurisdiction that got more than a 25% response rate. And, in fact, Eileen Luna Firebaugh sent out a mail survey and then had graduate students do telephone follow-up and follow-up and follow-up, and she got, I think, about a 20% response rate as well. So it's just notoriously difficult to get response rates on these kinds of citizen surveys.
If I could just add to that, we're finding that there's difficulty getting response rates to anything. I mean, the foreclosure problem in our country is exacerbated in part because even banks that are legally mandated to send letters saying, we're willing to restructure your loan, people are not opening those letters for the same reason they're not opening, you know, their 401k statements or other kinds of things. And I'll also say that as someone who I think almost daily is solicited for some survey on the telephone, online, or in mail, I think that I probably feel like a lot of people that I just have a no survey rule. And it's not calibrated to the value of the survey. I'm just inundated with that, and we just sort of say, no, thank you. I think also, regrettably, a lot of people feel that there's a privacy concern, that they're reluctant to fill out information on any survey because they don't know who's going to use the information and if somehow there's a – and that partly is a function of telling people they should not give out information because there's so many unscrupulous telemarketers and others. But that's just my sense.
It's true. I mean, our citizen survey that we send out every year – started at 50% response rate, and it has year by year gradually eroded till where it's about 32 or 33%, and it hasn't changed in terms of its length. But ultimately, I think people are getting surveyed out.
So Dan Handelman said that the survey was only sent to 34 people.
We tried doing some sampling in this one. It just because we felt like if we weren't getting a good response rate with the broadest group, so we started sending out batches.
That's a different
those were complaints.
Effort.
Those were complainants. Right?
Complainants, yeah. Just to complainants.
That was the universe of 500 or so.
Yeah.
453?
Right. Yeah, and when I was talking about the citizen survey, that's the one that Audit Services does for the service efforts and accomplishments
report. So the survey he was talking about is a different survey.
Right.
Yes.
So could you answer that? I mean, I was curious.
The small numbers? Well, in any kind of a...
I looked, and in the table on page 2, it says that I think it's page 2. There were 453 complaints, and according to Dan, we sent surveys to only 34 of those people.
We received from 34. We didn't send.
Did you receive from 34?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you sent them to everybody, but only 34.
It was a sample of the whole group, but it was a randomly drawn.
200 mail.
6 out of 12 months.
Okay. And why wouldn't we send it to everybody?
We were trying to catch up with annual reports, okay. And we were running on without a director for a while, and there were a number of issues where we were just trying to keep up with the workload, and that was one area where we could do a sample and reduce our workload a little bit.
And I also want to clarify the issue of that Robert Butler was raising, alleging that he wasn't told what the traffic violation was. Even he didn't say that in his written comments. He said that the officer wouldn't write down the specifics of the detail. Now, I'd have to say, in my own personal experience, I was thoroughly explained why I got my traffic ticket in Portland. So,
could I just piggyback off one point as well? The League of Women Voters raised the question of the significant drop in complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So the data, both in terms of shootings, down dramatically. Complaints down dramatically. So there may be some cause for celebration here, but the question that was raised is, do we know whether it's because of improved interaction or, as the League of Women Voters put as an alternative, a lack of trust in the system? Do we have any data to shed light on that?
Well, I think the data sheds light on the fact that where the Bureau has focused their efforts and energy, we've seen a reduction in complaints. I mean, you look at the force policy as a perfect example. there's a significant amount of resources and energy placed on that new force policy, and officers responded, and we see a significant drop in complaint. There's also new training that's gone into place. Customer service training, for example, we used to get that would show a reduction in complaints when it comes to customer service issues, traffic tickets, those kind of things, which generate a lot of complaints. Everyone has to go through customer service training now. So I think the data does show that, in fact, where the momentum is within the Bureau and where the focus is within the Bureau is where the complaints are dropping. With that said, we now have the outreach position. We have a strategic plan to deal with outreach that I was very transparent about, got public input, posted on the web, sent it to media outlets, wanted to make sure that the community was involved with how we would get out into the community. We've heard what they've said. We're going to implement that strategy. And my hope is that when I sit here next year, we're going to have information from the community. We're going to have someone who's been out there and doing the work. We're going to have a better answer for you.
And one of the messages we want the public to hear is that when they file a complaint, something good will happen, and that's what this report says, is that, you know, filing complaints, having our office, the Citizen Review Committee, and the Police Bureau working those will result in change in the organization. So it's not a hopeless task for them to fill out the form and initiate a complaint, because we really do view those as an opportunity for improvement.
I think, with all due respect for that, that the data doesn't necessarily back that up. Until we get more surveys coming back saying I'm satisfied, if we have 62% of the complaints dismissed and we have 62% people that the fairness of the complaint, the outcome was unfair, we got 50% saying that they didn't feel like it was well processed, we have to get some actual data to say that others were satisfied before we can conclude that it's the process that's working.
Well, and again, that same research, there's very few organizations that got more than the 30% satisfaction rate from complainants, period, whether it was England or California or Minneapolis or any place. It's just a population that doesn't respond to surveys, a low response rate, but also it's difficult to make them whole again after they've had a bad interaction with a police officer, and it's hard to make them satisfied with anything that we could do.
And I also actually want to point out a distinction between something that you said and what Commissioner Fish said. Commissioner Fish, if I was correct, was talking about community trust, where you're talking about complainant satisfaction. Am I correct in hearing
Yes.
those differences? I think those we have to target our efforts towards the community and having the community trust to come forward and come and work with us and trust that we're doing the right thing. That is one effort that we need to go forward. And then when it comes to complainant satisfaction, I think there are things that we can do that we can have more faith that they are being satisfied. We're working on getting these cases done in a timely manner now that we are fully staffed here, and hopefully we'll remain fully staffed. I know that the budget is coming, and the possibility of losing an investigator is on the table, and that will clearly affect our ability to continue with the timeliness of our investigations. But that's been a constant criticism, and we're there. We have finally cleaned out a backlog. We're on target for what we are focusing on, which is getting these complaints resolved in a timely manner. And I think what you can see is that when people get information quickly, which is another thing that we're doing, as soon as that someone comes in and files a complaint or complains over the phone or online, within 5 working days, they get a letter back from us now. And it summarizes what the complaint is and explains to them what's going to happen next. And I think the more information, the quicker you get it to them, the more likely they are going to feel involved in the process and someone's taking care of their complaint. And then on the other end, we are also completely revised how we communicate with complainants. We use real language. We speak directly to them. We're eliminating jargon. We're eliminating harsh language as well. And we're just explaining to them why their case was resolved in the manner it is. And I have to say, IAD has also been a great partner in this, and they've really revised the language that they've used in their letters as well. So I don't want to be God, and I hesitate to use the word beholden because I was here on the other part of the conversation, but I don't want to be beholden to saying that that the way that we're going to gauge complainant satisfaction is through surveys, when we know for sure that surveys aren't a good method. but that we can report back to council all of these ways that we are communicating with complainants, being clear if cases that come up where they're unhappy with how their case was handled, whether it's a protest, whether it's that their service complaint was not handled satisfactory, they need to just call IPR. We will meet with them. Investigators will meet with them. I will meet with them. Assistant director will meet with them. So the more, I would rather be able to come back and say, I think that people are satisfied. Yes, we got a low response rate, but look at all of what we're doing to help them understand what happened to their complaint and it was taken seriously. And I think we're going to just have to put those two things together to gauge what success is.
I'm going to disagree a little bit with the IPR director in that I think there is some concern.
You are Michael?
I'm Michael Bigham, chair of the Citizen Review Committee. There is concern on the Citizen Review Committee that there is not an appeal process for service complaints or IAD dismissals or IPR
dismissals. IAD, I'm sorry.
Internal Affairs Division
Thank
dismissals
you.
Or IPR dismissals. And we have had some conversations about is some kind of appeal process needed for those kind of complaints. And that's one of the things that the case handling work group is looking at, is do we need some kind of appeal process? Because I personally feel that overall, probably IPR does handle most cases very well, but there might be that isolated case that might be overlooked that needs to be appealed and needs to be listened to. So,
and even more than that, for the Citizen Review Committee to look at it and say, here's what we as citizens saw happened and why we agree. You know, it would be helpful, and I think that would help you with the policy issues too, to hear
right.
some appeals.
I agree.
Further questions? Thank you very much. So we need a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish. Thank you for an excellent discussion on this. We're clearly making progress, and Mary Beth, you are a breath of fresh air in this building. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I think this is an outstanding report. I mean, you can always look at the glass, whether it's half full or half empty. I see a lot of encouragement in the trends, and from my firsthand knowledge of better gaining knowledge of how the Bureau operates with internal affairs, how it interacts with the IPR, the Citizen Review Committee, and the Office of Accountability and Professional Standards, I think there's been really good, trusting relationships that have developed that are working on the public's behalf. So I want to thank Director Baptista, Captain Famous, Chief Sizer, Gary Blackmer, for all and the Citizen Review Committee for all, I think, substantial, credible progress that is being made in responding to complaints citizens have about their interactions with our police. And I'm pleased by these trends. Please vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, again, it's worth saying that crime is down and that the police are doing a magnificent job in many areas, and so are the citizens and the auditor's office who are doing these projects and looking at accountability. And again, thanks to the League of Women Voters and to Portland Cop Watch for being our citizen experts on this, advising us. I heard something interesting in the last 4 months, and that is that whenever there are three complaints, whether they're upheld or not, that triggers an automatic performance review. And I forget what the length of time, but that was good for me to hear that there are mechanisms within the police bureau to make sure that all complaints, whether upheld or not, do result in a review of the officer's complete performance. And I think that's a good strategy. I'm glad to hear that there's an outreach worker been hired. I hope that they will interact with the folks at the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Office of Human Relations and using all of our network to reach diverse groups, to use the community newspapers, and to reach the youth and the young adults who seem to be haven't been responded to the surveys. So there's other ways that we can get information and that I would like to offer my support to help that happen and to work with Commissioner Saltzman with the Police Bureau and the Community Police Relations Committee, which is under the Human Rights Commission in the Office of Human Relations. This is a good report, though, and a lot of great people working on these issues who care passionately about them. Thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
I, too, appreciate the good work, the excellent progress this has shown. It's excellent work. Thank you. The report's adopted. We are adjourned.
Mr. President, we had two items that we didn't get to, and there's just need our vote. 532 and 534.
Sorry. I wasn't aware of that.
I was gone. I thought we had taken care of those.
Yeah, we were kind of jumping around. So.
Did we take care of those?
Those were actually voted on after the elections report.
Oh, okay. I was out of the room. My apologies.
While you were out of the room.
Okay.
Once more, you hijack a meeting, Dan. So we are adjourned till next Wednesday, May 6th. Is that correct? May 6th at 9:30 a.m. Council's adjourned.
Record 4:15, 9:30 to 4:15.
This one's probably this last one.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Jesus. You even skipped out. Yeah, I had a-